So that's the problem. Problem is Mazik Matnas Kuna. So if you have the Matnas Kuna, let's say the Matanos, the Zerol Chayayim Vikeva, and you, before you give them over to the Kohen, you damage them, destroy them. So the question is, do you have to pay damages to the Kohen? So on the surface, you'd say you do, because Matnas Kuna is the Mama. It's chus mama. It's not just a mitzvah saseh to give him something, to do a mice in the sina, but it's a chus mama, and he has a right, monetary right in it. And you have to respond to the monetary right. But that's why, for instance, if it's a safek, you say, his right, he doesn't have a right anymore, because he has to prove it. You see, the nature of the mitzvah is it's a din mama. It's chus mama. So if that's the case, if you damage the thing which you have chus mama in, so then you should be chayvin the damages. Because he basically has a right and a claim on these objects, and now you're destroying that claim. So that's worth something. Right? So you should be chayiv, but so Ruchuzah comes and says, no, you're not chayiv. So the question is, why not? So there's two possibilities. Either you're pater because the pasuk says, Zeh miyam mishpat hakohanim. This is the mishpat hakohanim. These objects are all chayim mekeva, and not anything else, not damim. Okay, the Torah limits it only to the objects and not to the mom. Right, and therefore, if you damage it, there's no tashlumah. Which we said, our kasha is, how could that be? Because if it's his, it's chus mamon in it. So then, if you damage it, you should be chayiv to pay. You should have to pay its damages. What's the sense of a limud saying you don't have to pay? If he has right, monetary rights, then how could he not be chayv to pay? What does it mean? And Rashi says, Torah wasn't mechayev him in tashlum. But the question is, what do you mean he wasn't mechayev him? Isn't that a natural thing? If I have a right in something, then there's tashlum. And the Torah didn't have to come along and be mechayev me. It's just supposed to be natural, automatic. How could it not be the case? That was one pshat. I mean, I have to answer that. That's what I have to explain. The other pshat was, no, really, it is a chiyuv mamon. It is a chiyuv mamon, and really, you should be chayev tashlum. The only thing is, it's mamon shein lo tovim. Who's going to claim? Who's going to claim the money in court? There's no particular kohen. Every kohen, you'll say, oh, the other guy. So therefore, you're off the But intrinsically, according to the second pshat, really, you would be chayev. Right? So the question is, so apparently, I have a kol machlokes as to the answers. Habir askara. Or call what you want. But the question is, what's the sense of this limit of zeh that you're not chayav in tashlumin? Okay, that's what we're going to start with. We'll do moshon atovim afterwards. But for starters, what's the sense of the limit that you're not chayav to pay in the case of the case of damages? Something like this. It's kind of similar to starting with Aaron's approach, but I just want to work out the details. So let's just start like this. Is the following possible? Okay, I give you a gift, or I sell you a thing, whatever it is, and I make a condition that you have rights on. Your right on it is only to have the object, to use it, to whatever, to sell it, to whatever, But you don't have, if it's damaged, then you have no collection rights. Okay, I get the collection rights, let's say, or something like that, right?
Okay. Rights to usage,
and maybe to do whatever else or whatever it is. But what I'm saying is you have rights on the object itself, but you have no monetary, you even rights to eat it or to whatever, but you don't have any rights of a collection of damages of tashlumin. You don't have that kind of a right. Okay, I'm giving it to you. I have a right to do whatever I want, So I'm going to stipulate that that's the nature of your bylaws. A certain type of a bailus which is limited to the guf hadavar itself, but to the object itself, but it has no the part of an ownership. In general, ownership brings with it certain zchusim, that if I own something, I have a zchus to collect if it's damaged. Right? That's part of, right? I have a zchus to sell it, or whatever zchusim I have on it. Different types of different rights that I have being that I'm an owner. But what I'm saying is, could I create artificially, give you a gift on the condition that you don't have any, you don't have that right. We make a contract or whatever. You only have rights on the gofadavar. You don't have any rights to its proceeds through damages. Right? Possible? Yes. Because Hanina. Why not? Because that's in general the principle. Kadosh Shavu Mamon Tanon Kayim. And in Dinei Mamonas, I can make whatever I want. You can make whatever terms of a contract you want. You can make all funny, crazy kinds of formulations, but whatever, or whatever you want to formulate, you formulate. What?
What was that called?
Kol Dover Shavu Mamon. Any matter of Mamon is Tano Kayim. Your Tanai is Kayim. Your Tanai works. Okay? Why would I do that? Whatever. But I could do that. Right? In Dina Mamana, such a thing is possible. Right? Such a thing is possible. Okay. Now, let's say now, I would damage your thing. So you wouldn't plug the other plug to me, right? Obviously, right? Now, let's say there's a suffix whether you had such a right or not. Right? So then you'd say again, we're not sure whether I gave that right to you or not. So it's in a moment. It's a normal moment's thing. Ah. So maybe it's saying is halachically speaking, and we'll get to why it is in a second, and I think that's what Aaron is saying. But halachically speaking, that's what the Torah did. Torah gave the Kohen as chos mamon in the guf hadavar itself, in the object itself. Zah. In the chaval, you know, they only have this. Zah yevish barakwanim. But not Tashlumin. The Torah limited the rights of the Kohen to the Guf HaDavar itself, not to the Tashlumin. It's not an ordinary, normally it's not the way. Normally, the Nimamun is ownership brings with it the Tashlumin. But you could artificially create a limited Slus Mamun, and that's what the Torah did. The Torah did that. Through the Miyot, the Torah is indicating that it created a limited Schlis Mamon. A Schlis Mamon which is limited to the Guf HaDavar itself. He has no rights of collection if the thing is damaged. That's not part of that's not his rights. Torah created a limited Schlis Mamon. Yes. That's what Danny asks. He says, yeah, but let's say once you give it to the Kohen and then you damage it, then of course when Michai damages, it says, right? So Yudah says, yeah, but that's when I already give it to him. In other words, the Torah is, I have the Zorah Chaim Akeva. I do Shechita, now there's existence Zorah Chaim Akeva, the Matanos. The Torah now does, it creates the Kohen as a Zachas, he has a right to my object. Okay, he has a right to my object, and through me giving it to him, right? That's what his right is. His right demands me to give it to him. It demands that I give it to him. Now the nature of that right is a right to the object, not a right to damages on the object. If the object is damaged, since he has a right to the object, then naturally he'd have a right to the damages as well, because he has a right to the object as part of the object is that there's damages. But the Torah limited his right to the object itself, not to his damages. Now once I give the object to him, now it's his. Now the bialis, now he has 100% bialis on it, because he's the owner. Right? But there's a chus that the Torah creates, which demands that I give it to him, is that it is a chus on the object itself. Okay? Now, what's the sense of that? So the sense of that, I think, is what Aaron said, is that the Torah is not interested in giving him money. The Torah is not interested in making him more rich. The Torah is interested in you giving him a matana of these items. Okay? But what the Torah wants to do is it wants you to give him these part animal body parts. But what the Torah does, and this is interesting, is the Torah doesn't create a maisa mitzvah. You know, like take a lulav, do a maisa of handing over these items. The way the Torah forces me to do it is it creates a zechus mamon. It creates a zechus mamon. It's in a certain sense, you have to think about this, but it's like a simpler method than to just create like a tzuras ha-mitzvah from thin air, so to speak, as opposed to just giving him a right. Gives him a right, and then my mitzvah is just to respond to the right. It's like it's more economical. It's making use of a normal halachic vehicle. It's chus mamon, and I have this mechayev me to respond to the chus mamon, as opposed to creating like a new action of a mitzvah of doing an action of giving this to him. So it does. It gives him a chus mamon, but the purpose of the so to speak the halachic objective that the Torah is trying to accomplish is for me to give him these objects, to give him meat. It's not trying to give him to make him wealthy. The point is, Torah wants me to give him meat. The method which Torah does it is it creates chus mamon. Now, since that's the case, the nature of the chus mamon the Torah creates is that It's a schlitz mamon, which is limited to the schlitz of the gavadavar, because the Torah is using that method to force me to do the action of giving him these animal parts. It's not trying to get me to give him a check, to give him $100. It's trying to get me to do the action of giving Israel a chayim keva. The way it does it is to create schlitz mamon in them, but it's a limited schlitz. It's a schlitz mamon, which is limited to the gavadavar itself, because that's what the Torah is trying to accomplish. Again, that's a little more the why behind that. And the halachically, the what is, it's creating a limited schlitz mamon. But the sense is, I think, what you're saying. You know? Because that's the whole purpose here, is so that you'll give him the matanos. So you're going to do a maisa of giving him the matanos, not to give him cash. The difference between halacha, between like bailos and a zechus and an object. I mean, a right. A zechus and an object is like a right of collection. Like an ownership is like, who's the baal? So I'm the baal, he's not the owner. But he has a zechus, he has like a kinyan or a right, monetary right of collection in my object. Right? But it's not, so to speak, it's not his until they give it to him. But it's a right.
And bailot is
ownership. Yeah, bailot is ownership. I mean, it's a good question of when these lines are not so clear always. Is what exactly is zechus, what's bailot? It's like bailot is some sort of a summary or a compilation of lots of different zechus, you know, rights. And here's the Torah gave him a right. It's my bailos is on the line. It's about to be, you know, dismantled by him taking it. But it gives him a right of collection in my object. But it's still mine until it's put on this for now. I mean, we're just getting into this. But for now, it gives him a right of collection in my object. But a collection of the Gavadavar, not of the Tashlumen, which is, you know, the damages which will come out. It's like the Torah is trying to create the din of you give him the matana of the meat, but the way it does it is through the mama. A carefully constructed din, you know. If you don't hold by Zah, if you wouldn't hold by Zah, like the second answer, right? It seems it doesn't learn that. So what it's going to say is that it's true. The reason, the purpose here is to create a din of matanos and for you to do a mice and a sino. But halachically, the Torah creates a schlitz mamon, and a normal schlitz mamon. The way schlitz mamon works is that if you damage it, then you chayav to pay. And really, you are. Only problem is ein lotovim, which kohen, and all that, you know. But that's a different answer. But that's the question: is that it's like the Torah here is trying to create to force the matanos kohuna through din mamon. The question is: did the Torah create an ordinary schlitz mamon? You know, since it's making use of din mamon, it's to create a normal schlitz mamon. In which case, there's monetary rights, there's collection rights, if there's mazik. Or do you say the tailor made like a strangely formulated schlitz mamon, which it could do in din mamon? It's not. That's the main move. I realize it's like. They're going to ask the question, like, isn't that automatic? If I damage your thing, then I have to pay for it? So the answer is, yeah, it is the default automatic. But it's not impossible to have a different type of a din mamon. There is such a thing. You can construct things like that in din mamonos, because din mamonos is lend itself to whatever terms you want. So it did it to further its objective, you know? It's a good example. It's like, I feel like if you don't... I'm not sure. Like, you can just define it and say, that's the Torah did. But it's like, it's not that satisfying if you don't have a sense to it. You know what I mean? Like, even though halachically you could just say that, it's tzar that, it's yerskasif, you know? But, like, it's, you know, like, begs the question. It kind of wouldn't be, it's almost like it sounds contrived, you know? So you could just say, look, it's contrived, it's tzar that. I don't know, that's the definition, you know? But it's like, without the sense, and it's not a far reach, the sense. I mean, it's right where you intuit it, but it makes sense. It's good enough. It's kind of like the Rambam says. The Rambam says this, is that, the Torah, we read the Shema once. The Torah gave him the meat in order to matanos in order to have meat. It gave him rishis hagez, the first shearing, so that he'll have wool. It gave him a grain, a meiser, and all that stuff in order that he'll have a grain and wine and oil. And it gave him other things in order to have cash. There are other matanos that take care of his cash, you know, his monetary needs. There's a lot of different matanos. This is a matanos that takes care of his meat, and it wants a Jew Yisraelim to give meat to Kakon. But the way in which it did it is through din mamon. It's interesting itself altogether. That's an interesting point. Is that I think it makes sense, but that it's like a smooth, it's simpler to create a din mamon, and then to force me to follow din mamon as opposed to just like concocting an action of me doing like it's something funny about it. It's mamon. It's gifts. It's monetary. It's the realm of money. Money matters. To make like a, it's not the same thing as a maisa n'tilas lulav. It's a different type of a mitzvah. You know what I mean? And to concoct them, an action of handing this thing from my hand to his hand, wondering how do I have to pick it up? Like, it's not, it's mamonos. So it doesn't have to create a maisa mitzvah. It's simply puts the din mamon in place, and the mitzvah is to live in line with that din mamon, and that's why Matzah Ra'ayah comes along, because the fact that it's the nature, the mitzvah uses the frame of mamon. Yeah, the question is a mamon or is a mitzvah? Where is a mitzvah? So say it's a mitzvah because there's a mitzvah. So I say so supporting Kohan and recognizing the other of the Hashem and all that, you know, it's a mitzvah. I say. But the way the Torah did it is through giving him money. But if I normally just give a guy damage, I damage his car and I have to give him money, so that's just cash. I give him the money. He deserves it. It's not a I'm not fulfilling anything greater than it just it says. It belongs to him, so I have to respect Mishpat or whatever. But that's not it's not a mitzvah sasei. Here, this giving him this thing which he deserves is has a kiyam of supporting the Kohanim and recognition of right. So that's why it's a mitzvah sasei. So it's but it's also din mamonas, you know. But it's the way the mitzvah is accomplished is by responding to the din mamon. You know, what I mean, it's a method, but it's a key I say when I do it. You know, what I mean, but the parameters though now are determined by the halachos of din mamonas because that's the way the Torah did it. You know, what I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, that's I think what this parak is about, or what Manas Kun is about, is like the interplay between mitzvah and din mamonos. You know what I mean? It's like an interesting type of a thing. I mean, all the manas kehuna are like this. I mean, it's nothing about matanos per se. It's the concept of the manas kehuna is like a mitzvah of mamon. You know what I mean? It's like different than ordinary mitzvahs that we study. I think that's just what it's about. I mean, you know, we're getting into it here, but my feeling is this is like what the different questions are going to be about. You know, like what's you know, what has to be formulated, how exactly. I mean, we're formulating certain things here, but, you know, this is where we're, you know, this is the type of area we're going to be dancing around and trying to get this as good as we could, you know? But it's like an interesting kind of a thing that Torah is trying to create here. You know what I mean? What's it's like, Torah wants you to do a mice of giving him the gift of Zorochamikim. Now, once you do that, there's like baggage, it's a din mamon, and din mamon has with it, there's extra baggage, is that there's damages associated with it. But that's not what I was interested in doing, it's not interested in me paying him money. So it's like it minuses off the extra baggage that comes along with giving him a sos mamon. You give him a sos mamon, that comes along for the ride. He gets damage rights. But the Torah doesn't want that, so it's not interested in that. Zah! The Yemish Barakon. And that's what the Torah does, it cuts it out. It artificially limits sos mamon to narrow down what we're really looking for. You know what I mean? Which is a move. That's the other way it doesn't buy it. So that's not, forget that. He uses that for something else and he goes to Moshe Antovim. So that's what I guess we should do tomorrow. Moshe Antovim. Okay, what's the question? Do you say it's Moshe Antovim? Okay?